To our guests, we welcome you again to the house of the Lord. We pray that you have already been blessed and that you will continue to be blessed in this service, and that the word will minister to you. As we turn to the book of Psalms, chapter number 23, we are going to try to finish this up today. This is part 5 of a series on Psalms 23. I had a few intermissions from time to time, different things taking place, guest speakers, etc. But this is the 5th part. So for the CD guy, you can put Psalms 23, part 5. And we title the message, The Fullness of God. We just pray that our guests are blessed today, and you receive from the Lord Jesus Christ everything that he has for you. I don't want from him just what I think I need. I want from him everything he has for me. And everything that he knows I need. Because my understanding is very limited. And he knows my tomorrows. And I might be mixed up theological and religious-wise, and I might have all kinds of things wrong up here. But he knows what I need. So if I can just get in the position today where I can say, Lord, not what I've come looking for, but you brought me here today. I want everything you desire for me to have right here today in this service. Man, and even if that may cross my thinking a little bit from here to there, in fact, I'll promise you, I'll just make you a promise. If you get everything from God that God wants you to have today, it will cross your thinking. Because you don't have it all figured out. There's not a one of us in this building that have it figured out. Amen. Psalms chapter 23, if you're there, say hallelujah. That sounds pretty good. We could probably all just quote this thing. What we'll do, though, let's just read it together, and then we'll get into the word of the Lord. It's 4:20, and I promise you that I will be done when I'm finished. And we try not to hold you too long. We haven't been doing that lately. I wanted to feel like it was because I was being nice, but I think I'm just getting old. I found out God can do in 30 minutes a whole lot more than I can do in 45 or 50. All right, Psalms 23, verse number 1. Let's read it together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a powerful word of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Put your Bibles down. Reach over. Get your neighbor's hand. Father, we come to you today. We ask you to speak to us your truth. Speak to us your truth. Let the word of God permeate our hearts and our minds and get into our spirits. Change every one of us today. Let every one of us leave here changed. God, I pray that we receive from you what you have us to receive. Bless all of our guests that are with us. Touch them mightily, Lord. Provide for them. the precious saints of God, Lord, that are going through things. Give strength and encouragement today. Use your word to anoint and guide. We ask it in the mighty, wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody say amen. Amen. Praise God. Yes, let's clap our hands to the Lord. Man, you may be seated. I forgot my napkin today, my hanky. So I had torn me off a piece of paper towel from the bathroom, folded up real nice and neat. I thought to myself, I said, well, they just going to think it's just a brown hanky. And while we were praying, someone came up here and Luke came up and took my perfectly folded brown paper towel away and gave me this silk hanky. Isn't that sweet? And I do mean give me, because don't ever get it back. So you need to kind of think about that. If you had a nice white cloth one on the other side, you probably should have gave me that one. Because I got some black suits this to go real nice with. Thank you. Amen. We have been teaching on Psalms 23 for a few weeks. As I said, this is our fifth part. And I'm going to take a couple of minutes here this evening to kind of rehash just a little bit. However, you really need to purchase the set. If you've missed any of these messages on Psalms 23, you need to get the set so that you can go home and listen to them. It's so powerful and good. We should charge you $100 for it. But it's 5 CDs. We'll let you have it for whatever we sell them for. I don't even know what that is. Combined, 20 bucks for the 5 is what we will do. But pick them up. If you don't have them, you may want to get an extra copy. Send them off. And also, you can go to the website and listen to them at our website. The podcast is up there. When we first looked into this chapter, Psalms 23, one of the things that we talked about is how that this psalm is quoted more than any other passage of Scripture in the Word of God. You can't meet anyone, heathen or religious, that hasn't heard of Psalms 23. Unless they live somewheres that there's just not even a Bible there at all. And there are places in the world that are just like that. However, if there is any sharing of the Word of God, Psalms 23 is going to make its way into it. Psalms 23 has been reproduced on literature more than any other chapter of the Word of God. There's something about this psalm. Even while we were reading it today, even though this has been the fifth time for the church that's been here for all of the lessons on Psalms 23, while we were reading it, you could feel the power of God while you were reading the scripture. I can stand up here and read from 1 Chronicles and talk about the genealogies and read their names and begets, and I don't know, it just doesn't seem to do the same to me as Psalms 23. And there are many other even poetic scriptures in the Word of God that are beautiful in their writing and structure and their orientation. It's just an incredible piece of literature, but there's just something about Psalms 23. And when we got to looking into this chapter, we found out that out of the 12 major compound names of Jehovah that are used through the entire Word of God, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Shah, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Tiskenu, Jehovah Nisha, and the other compound names of Jehovah that were introduced to you and I through different occasions in the Word of God, different major happenings in God's word. And all of a sudden this compound name of Jehovah would come out, and it would bring healing, or it would bring deliverance, or encouragement, or uplifting, or provision. Whatever the need was, whatever the occasion was, when this name was introduced to us. But here in Psalms 23, we find out that 8 of the 12 compound names of Jehovah were wrapped up in this one psalm. And so while you are reading Psalms 23, you are more than just reading a few verses, but you are literally reading the power and existence of God himself. You are reading his provision and his deliverance and his help. And so as we read through this chapter, Psalms 23, our soul is blessed. Our mind may not quite understand. You may not have any background on theological explanations of this at all. You may not even know what I'm talking about when I say the compound name of Jehovah. You might scratch your head and say, what is that? There may be no religious background to you whatsoever. But when you begin to read this psalm, something comes alive on the inside of your heart. Something begins to jump up and down. And that is because your soul, which was created to serve God, is reading about his creator and is seeing what his God can do for him. We looked into this psalm and verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. And we talk about Jehovah Rapha, the Lord is my shepherd. And that if anybody understood what it meant to be a shepherd, it was David. David understood that from time to time you have to protect the sheep. And it may mean putting your own life on the line when he fought a lion and a bear. It means caring for them, leading them, guiding them, bringing them to the water to drink, and bringing them to the fields to eat, counting them at the end of the day to make sure they're all there, coming in and out, caring for the sheep. And one day David sat down and realized that this is what his God did for him. And I want to tell somebody here today that the Spirit of God was at that door and he was counting his sheep as they came through the door. You say, but Pastor, this is my first time here. It may be, but God woke you up. God got you dressed. God brought you here, and he was at the door with his staff. And when you walk through that door, he counted you coming in. And he's going to count you when you go out. But what matters is what happens to you while you are here today. God has great things for you. Somebody shout, the Lord is my shepherd. David went on to say, I shall not want. We studied about Jehovah Jireh and how that the Lord is our provider. Paul said it this way in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We found out that God is indeed our provider. Verse 2, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. We studied about that. What a powerful message. I'm going to tell you, the world cannot give you peace. Money cannot give you peace. Popularity cannot give you peace. Fame cannot give you peace. Position cannot give you peace. There's nothing in this world that can give you peace but the Lord Jesus Christ. He said in the book of John, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. God has come to give peace to your heart today. He's come to bless you. You came in here troubled, but while you're here, the power of God has been touching you, touching your mind, touching your heart, and putting a peace upon you. He He said, I give you peace. It's my peace. It's not the peace of the world. Why? Because the world gives peace and the world takes it away. Oh, yeah. When everything's going good on the job, the world can give you peace. But let trouble come and all of a sudden the peace has a way of fleeting away. Food in the cupboard, money in the bank, bills are paid. There's all daddy can lean back in the old sofa and have peace and drink his coffee. But let the lose the job, let the cupboards go dry and the bills, the collectors start coming. All of a sudden trouble hits that heart and hits that mind. But I'm here to tell you that in the middle of your trouble, Jesus knows how to put a peace in your heart. That no trouble in this world will ever take away. Philippians tells us, he says, be careful for nothing. Worry about nothing. Be anxious about nothing. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Watch verse 7. And the peace of God. Everybody say the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. I've come to tell you, there's things you're going through you cannot understand. There's things you're facing you cannot figure out. God said, that's all right. I'll step into your life and I'll bring you peace. It'll go beyond your understanding. You might not be able to figure it out. He said, but I'll put a peace upon you. You'll know I'm with you. You'll know I'm going to take care of you. And that's what the Lord wants to do for you here today. We went on into verse number 3. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Jehovah Tiskenu, the Lord our righteousness. Righteousness simply means the state of being right. I've got news for you. You don't have the ability to do it. It's not in you. You can't conjure it up. You can't make it happen. You can't get right enough for God. It's just not going to happen. You can't do enough to make it in, live enough right to get in. No, friend, this righteousness is not your righteousness, because Isaiah tells us that your righteousness is as filthy rags before the Lord. I'm talking about the righteousness that Jesus Christ gives you. When you give your heart to him, he will walk into your life, put a peace upon you, take the trouble out of your spirit, and then he will impute his righteousness into your life, and then you will be able to boldly come into the throne of grace. Lift your hands up before the Almighty God, not because of your goodness, not because of your righteousness, but it's his blood, it's his righteousness. He will begin to lead us down the path of righteousness, that he might teach us how to begin to live right. Why? For his name's sake. We have to be a light to the world. The way we act, the way we talk, the way we dress, the things we do, the places we go, everything about us, we must begin to shape and form so that it brings glory to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 21 tells us, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Romans tells us he imputes his righteousness into us. It is the righteousness of God that came into my life, that took me out of darkness. I wasn't even thinking about him. He wasn't even on my mind. The Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When I was living in sin, he allowed himself to be nailed to a cross. He shed his blood that I might live righteous. And while I was going down my path of unrighteousness, he took some saint of God and intervened in my path and shined his light into my life, like Paul the Apostle when he stopped him on his way to Damascus. He stopped me right in my path. He let the righteousness of Christ come upon me. And I'm here to tell you, I'm so thankful he did. He changed my life. He changed the way I think. He changed everything about me. It's not me, it's him in me. Hallelujah. Clap your hands to the Lord and give me praise. And then last Sunday we talked about, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is present. And the thing that we noticed about this is that the word of God doesn't say, though I walk through the valley of death, it's the valley of the shadow of death. We talked about how that the shadow of a serpent cannot sting and the shadow of a sword cannot kill. And that shadows cannot harm us. But the devil will use them to play with our mind. He will use them to get in our heart. He will use them to put fear in our spirit. And we talked about how that the larger the shadow that the devil is able to cast, it must mean the brighter the light of Jesus Christ that is actually shining into my life. And the devil has a way of trying to get between God and you. But yet when he casts that shadow, don't ever forget, when things begin to happen in your life and the devil is casting a shadow in your life, don't ever forget, the only way he can do that is if the light of Jesus Christ is already shining upon you. So why don't you ignore the shadow and turn to the light and let God bathe you in his light and watch God take care of you in your trouble. Isaiah put it this way. He said, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon you. I've come to tell you, God is going to be with you in your valley. He's going to help you in your time of trouble. And so we make our way to verse 5 today, and we're going to try to wrap this up if we possibly can. In verse 5 and 6, and verse 5 says, thou preparest a table before me. You have to look at this verse to see how incredible this verse really is. Look what David is saying. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. This verse, Jehovah Nisha, the Lord, our banner or our conqueror, the one who protects me, the one who watches over me, the one who conquers my battles, the one who goes to war for me. Many times over and over in the Old Testament, he would tell Israel, the battle's not yours, it's mine. Just go out and make it happen. He told Gideon, he said, all I want you to go to war with is 300 men. But God, there's 180,000 Amalekites. It doesn't matter. 10,000 of you is too many, or 30's too many. He knocks it down to 10. 10's too many. He takes away 9,700. There's only 300 of us, yes. And God said, I'm not done with you. I want you to put your sword down, put your shield down, and I want you to pick up a vessel of clay and put a light under it. And this is what you're going to come to your enemy with. And you're going to surround them on the tops. And God said, when you break the clay, oh, I wish somebody would get this. He said, when you break the clay, my light shall shine. And when the light shines, the enemy shall be confused. He said, he prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies. How does he do that? Because I learned a long time ago, it's not my ability, it's not my talent, it's not my righteousness, it's not my power or might, but by the Spirit saith the Lord. And when you recognize that it's not you, but it's him who conquers your enemy, then it doesn't matter where you are, what kind of battle you are in. If God is there, I can sit down at a table. I can lay this down, lay that down, pick up my fork and my knife and enjoy the presence of God. Because if the enemy comes, I know that Jesus is going to take care of it for me. If we will break the vessel of clay, if we will break ourselves, humble ourselves before God, quit trying to do it on your own.
Quit trying to fix it with your own thinking. Quit trying to fix it with your own hand. Quit trying to make it work with your own power and your own ways. And just break the old vessel of clay. Let it become broken in the presence of God. And when the clay vessel breaks, the light of God will shine. And when God's light shines out of you, your enemy shall be scattered.
I look at this little scenario that he puts up here. He says, he prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Now, can you see that? You're in the middle of this war. You're in the middle of this battle. On the outside of this little house, there's fighting and blood and screaming and hollering and all kinds of battle and war going on. And then from the distance, you hear the dinner bell ring. And you just kind of sheath your sword because, man, I'm hungry. I've been fighting all day. I just, smell the roast lamb. Woo, smells good. Woo, get a whiff of that bread. Woo, I wish they put a little yeast in it, but that's okay. We'll take it like it is. And you walk into this house, and here's this big, beautiful table. It's got this white cloth. Everything in there is clean. The best china's on the table. The best silverware's laid out. The meals being all put together. You walk in there. You put your sword down over here. Your shield over here. You pull your chair out. You sit down at the table knowing there's an enemy out there that wants to kill you. But you've got so much confidence in your God. You believe so strong in your God that if he calls you in to dine, if he tells you to come on in and dine and be blessed. My God, I wish somebody hear this preacher today. What's David trying to tell us? God can take care of you. God can watch over you. In fact, in the middle of your trouble, God will put a table out. Fix a lunch out. You'll sit down and eat. What a slap in the face of your enemy. Right in the middle of war. You go, hold it. I think I hear the dinner bell. I know you're attacking Satan. And don't misunderstand me. I'm not running. I'll be back. And we'll pick up right where we left off. But my Jesus has said, come in and dine. My Jesus has said, it's time for a break. It's time for a little rest. It's time to come in. Put your feet under my table. Let me bless you with my spirit. Let me lift you up out of your discouragement. Let me help you in your time of trouble. Let me hold your hand. Let me heal your body. I wish somebody was excited about this as I am. What a slap in the face of your enemy. You walk in here and dine with Jesus. And then the Lord says, okay, it's time to go back to battle. And you step back out. But you're not worried. The same God that blessed you in there will protect you out here. Somebody shout, yeah. What a verse. He prepared me a table, a banquet.
banquet in the midst of my enemies. The closest the devil could get to that was to look through the window. I'm surrounded by my enemy, but all they can do is look through the window. They're not allowed in because only the sons of God can sit at a king's table. I could see them sitting at that table. I could see one of them nudge the other and say, "Hey, Johnny, I think that's your devil looking through that window over there. You don't get no lamb. You don't get none of this Cajun gumbo. You don't get any of this." I'll say it. Sweet tea. For those of you that like it, I'm going to drink from the crystal river of God, that pure, unadulterated spirit. Let it flow through me. Devil, you can't touch this. I'm in the presence of God. He's come to heal me. He's come to bless me. Somebody here today, you need to let God prepare you a table in the midst of your enemies. You need to stop worrying about the trouble that's coming to your life and let God prepare you a table. You can be seated. They found him on the backside of Lodibor. Lodibor means a dry, desolate place. He was the grandson of Saul. He was the son of Jonathan. But Jonathan had made a covenant with David. He said, "David, when God gives you the throne, I just ask one thing of you. Please remember my seed. Remember my children." David and Jonathan made a covenant. David went to war. He had to fight all the Ike brothers, the Amalekites and the Amorites and the Kittites and all the Kite brothers out there. And finally, when the Bible says after 6 years, David had destroyed all of his enemies, there were none left. He was walking up and down the corridor of his palace, looking at the beautiful things that God had given him. And God reminded him of a promise and struck the heart of David. He fell to his knees. And then he got up and he started thinking, and how can I do this? What can I do? How can I fix this? And he started calling people in, and nobody knew. No one could find a single descendant of King Saul. All of his sons and daughters had been killed through war and other things happening and had been destroyed. Finally, a servant called Ziba makes his way in. And then he said to the king, he said, "I know of a servant by the name of Mephibosheth who lives in a place called Lodibor, an old dried up, beat up place. He is the son of Jonathan." Oh, he's of the bloodline. David said, "Go get him. I gotta have him." But Ziba said, "Wait a minute, king. There's something you need to understand. He is lame in both feet." You see, there's something you need to understand. Nobody crippled, blind, lamed, afflicted, deformed, or anything could enter into the presence of the king. They had to send somebody else. They couldn't go themselves. And so Ziba said, I can't bring him, David. He's lamed on both feet. When Saul was fleeing from the enemy, the servant of Mephibosheth picked him up and ran and fell with him. And it broke his ankles. And he can't walk. He just drags himself across the old dirty floor in his little old home, hoping to have something to eat that day. David said, get my finest horse. Get the best robe. Pack my mules with the best food. You get the highest ranking soldiers. And you form a caravan. And you make your way to Lodibor. And you knock on the door of Mephibosheth. And you tell him the king would like to see him. I can only imagine how Mephibosheth must have felt. And I don't want to belabor this, but I feel like I got a little thing here I want to say. I can just see when he sees this caravan coming. Oh, here he's on the floor. Cedar, he's lame. I hope they swept this. And he pulls across the floor, and he hears a noise, and the dust begins to come through the window from the hooves of the horse's feet. He pulls himself up and peeks over, and there he sees the finest horses that the army of Israel has to offer. Upon them are the mightiest, strongest soldiers decked out in their most powerful armor. He sees the caravan following. No doubt his heart sinks. And he says, they finally found me. I'm the last seed of Saul. And David has come to kill me. David has come to wipe out all traces of King Saul. And sure enough, they make their way to his door. And they knock on the door. And old Mephibosheth says, I might as well get it over with. He slides himself to the door. He opens up the door. And there is the servant of David. He looks down at him. And he says, sir, are you Mephibosheth? Yes, sir, I am. Are you of the seed of King Saul? Yes, sir, I am. Are you the son of Jonathan? Yes, sir, I am. And then he drops his scroll in front of him out of pure code. And he reads, it is hereby authorized by King David that you, one called Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, be escorted upon the greatest horse, wearing the finest robe, being treated with royal into the presence of the king. No doubt he could not believe his ears or his eyes. They bring him all the way in. And where do they bring him? To the dining room. At the king's table. Where nobody but the son of the king is allowed to sit. And they pull the chair out. And they put Mephibosheth in it. And they shove the chair up. And they give him the biggest meal he's ever had in all of his life. Why? Because my God prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. I guess what I'm trying to tell you, it doesn't matter who your daddy is. It don't matter what you've done. It don't matter where you're from. God is calling you to come to him. He has a table spread out. He has a place for you. Come and dine, he says. Come and dine. Isaiah put it this way. If you have no money, come and eat. If you've got nothing to drink, come on. We got plenty. Nobody shall be denied. Come and dine at the master's table. Clap your hands to the Lord Jesus Christ. You can be seated. Just a few more minutes of your time. Romans tells us, nay, in all things, we are more than conquerors through him that loves us. Paul tells us in Corinthians, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemy. It is a scenery of serenity, of peace and calm in the middle of the storm. It is the peace that only God can give you and only God can bless you with. That even in the middle of your battle, he's able to bring you in and cause you to dine. He said, you anoint my head with oil. There's so much here. I could preach another hour just on that. But let's make a way through. This oil they were talking about is the perfume oil that's poured out upon the heads of very distinguished guests. And only when they are at a banquet for someone of the highest order, such as the king. So when they would sit at the table, the guests would come and sit around the king's table. And they would all eat the same meat. They would all drink the same wine. But they all sat and waited for the one that the king chose for the oil to be poured on. Because when the man came out and poured this precious, expensive oil upon the head of that guest, it was the king's way of saying, I honor him. I esteem him above all who are here. And David said, when I come to this table, in the midst of my enemies, surrounded by trouble on the job, surrounded by marriage problems, surrounded by problems with my children, surrounded by financial difficulties, surrounded by hypocrisy, surrounded by strife and hatred. And he said, in the midst of my enemies, in the middle of everything that hates me, in the middle of everything that despises me, he said, sitting at this table that you have prepared for me, thou pourest oil upon my head. You didn't only invite me to the table, but you have distinguished me as your highest guest. You pour oil upon my head, and my cup runs over. I just can't take it, God. It's more than what I can handle. You have blessed me more than I consume. He said, try me. I'll open up windows of heaven. I'll pour out blessings that you cannot contain. Your cup will run over. I'll bring you to my table. I'll set a meal before you. I'll pour my oil upon your head. My blessings will pour out of your cup. And everybody will know I have distinguished you above all the others. In the midst of your enemies, I will exalt you. I've come to tell you, sir. I've come to let you know, ma'am, that no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, no matter what your struggle is, God will exalt you in the midst of your battle. God will lift you up in the middle of your trouble. He will pour oil upon your head today. He will fill you with the gift of the Holy Ghost. And he'll do it in the midst of your enemies. The devils can dance around you. They can holler. They can scream. But when God picks up his bucket, and while you're sitting at his table, and you made your way to this altar, and you lifted your hands, and you begin to call on God and repent of your sins, you're sitting at the king's table. You're eating of the king's meal. He's going to pick up that bucket. And in the middle of every failure, in the middle of every one of your faults, in the middle of every one of your weaknesses, in the middle of every one of your disasters, in the middle of every one of your troubles, he's going to turn that bucket and the oil's going to pour on your head, and every devil's going to know. Every devil's going to know that God has chose today to esteem you higher. To lift you higher, even though you're lame on both feet, even though there's trouble in your life, even though disaster has come, no matter what your background, no matter your sin, God wants you at his table, and God is going to put his oil on you, and your cup is going to run over. And you know what's going to happen when the oil begins to pull upon your head? Your cup's going to run over, and you're going to open your mouth, and praises are going to come out. Praises you've never uttered. Praises you don't even understand. Praises you can't even comprehend. As the Holy Ghost begins to speak through you and as your cup runs over. Come on, somebody. Let's stand to our feet. Clap your hands to the Lord with vigorness, will you? Will you give God a hand clap of praise? Let it roar. Let it roar. Come on, let it roar. Anybody here thankful for the Lord? Anybody here thankful to the Lord? My music makes their way to the platform. Can you feel that oil? Can you feel that oil? Woo! I can feel it. I can feel it. The Lord brought us to his banquet table today. We're lamed on both feet. We're not perfect. There's all kinds of things wrong with us. We're not perfect. We're sitting at the king's table. We're drinking the king's wine. We're eating the king's meat. What's that? Mephibosheth. Here comes the servant of the king. He's got a vessel of oil in his hands, and Mephibosheth is saying, well, he'll never stop by me. He'll never come by me. I'm just an old lame boy. I don't even belong here. I'm so full of sin. There's so much wrong with me. I'm just lucky to be here. I can't believe God's blessed me this way. He's brought me here today. He's already touched me so much, it can't be any more for me. And Mephibosheth probably looked around and said, oh, he's probably going to pour it on his head. Or, oh, there's the king of this city. Or there's the king of that kingdom. And there's this king and this royalty. And this, oh, he's going to pour it on one of those. And he walks on up. And Mephibosheth, he's just sitting there. He got his eyes closed. He's so nervous. And all of a sudden, he begins to feel something pour down his head. And he said, I can't believe it. He is esteeming me so high today. Every eye closed, every mind on God, sir. Ma'am, I'm here to tell you, not only did he bring you to the banquet today, not only have you eaten from his table today, not only has he blessed you today, but he wants to pour his oil upon you. And if you'll somehow step out from where you are and come and say, God, I'm hungry for more. God, I want more. God, I gotta have more. I need your blessings upon me. If you can make your way down today, I'm here to tell you, you're gonna feel him pour his oil upon your head, and your cup's gonna run over. And yes, goodness and mercy shall follow you for the rest of the days of your life. Goodness and mercy shall follow you for the rest of the days of your life. Come on, sir.